Matthew chapter 27. And our text this morning is found there in the verse 51. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The Calvary earthquake is our subject for this morning. It must be noted and pointed out that there in Calvary's Hill, the Lord Jesus Christ did not die as a martyr. We mean by that, his life was not taken from him. No, not at all. In fact, the four evangelists describing the events of Calvary do not use the words, "and he died." Instead, Matthew tells us he yielded up the ghost, or he yielded up his spirit. He yielded up the ghost. In Mark, we read, "And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the spirit." Mark 15, verse 37. No, his life was not taken from him. He voluntarily gave it up at a time of his choosing. As it is written in John 7, verse 30. "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him." Why? Because his hour was not yet come. His hour, that is, his hour of his death, the hour in which he would lay down his life, had not yet come. It was an hour that was fixed. It was an hour that was set. And no man on the face of the earth could change that. So he knew the hour. He knew the minute. He knew the moment in which he would yield up his spirit or give up the ghost. And further proof of that the Lord was in control as to the hour and the moment of his death, we see in John chapter 19. You turn please to John 19. John 19 and verse 32. "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. And when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs." Notice there that even though the Lord Jesus had hung longer on his cross than the two thieves, because you recall, when they nailed Christ to the cross, we're told the soldiers sat down and watched him there. Then they crucified the thieves. And so the Lord was longer on his cross than the two thieves. Yet, when the soldiers came to the cross, it was their practice to break the legs of the crucified to haste their death. You can imagine the shock that would be, coming, breaking the legs of the crucified. But when they came to Christ, Christ was dead already. It's very important that the Lord Jesus had given up the ghost before the two thieves. The Lord chose the hour of his death. Because you see, while Christ was alive, the two thieves could not die. The two thieves could not die. Death could not be the victor in the presence of a living Christ. We know that from the three occasions in Scripture where the Lord raised the dead. He went to the house of Jairus, and there his 12-year-old daughter lay dead on the bed. But Christ, the giver of life, entered the room and raised up that child. Raised up the child from the dead. The death could not be the victor in the presence of the living Christ. And then you recall that day as he made his way towards the village of Nain. There was a funeral procession coming out. And there was a widow following the coffin of her son. And when the two processions met, what happened? The Lord raised the widow's son out of his coffin. See? Death cannot be the victor in the presence of the living Christ. And then he went to the tomb of Lazarus. He had been dead 4 days. But then the living Christ stood there at the tomb of Lazarus and cried, "Lazarus, come forth." Once again, death could not be the victor when a living Christ was present. And so you see, the thieves could not die before Christ. Because while Christ was alive, those thieves would remain alive. Which tells me that the Lord chose the hour when he gave up the ghost. That's why he died before the thieves did. And notice further, before he surrendered his life to death, after all his pains and fatigues, his life was whole, as it were, within him. Because what do we read? He cried again with a loud voice. A loud voice. You ever near anyone? And they're ready to pass into eternity. That's one thing you notice. Their voice is reduced to a whisper. You can hardly hear them speak. Not so Christ. The Lord Jesus, as he hung there on the cross, cried with a loud voice. Christ, just before he expired, spoke like a man with full strength in his body. And he cried with a loud voice. This shows me again that his life was not taken from him. Instead, he laid down his life as one in control of all things, including the hour, including the moment when he would yield up his spirit. And when he did so, when he yielded up the Spirit, when he gave up the Ghost, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Rocks were split in two when the Lord Jesus gave up the Ghost. That's what we want to consider today. We've already considered the 3 hours of darkness. We've already considered the rending of the veil. This morning I want to look at the earthquake there at Calvary. The Calvary earthquake. What can we learn from that? First of all, let us consider the wonder of the earthquake. So Matthew tells us about the earthquake. Here's something interesting. You compare the record of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will discover something. You'll discover that Matthew is the only evangelist to mention the earthquake. He's the only evangelist to say the earth did quake and the rocks rent. Now you would have thought that such a momentous event would be recorded by all four evangelists. But no, just one. Why was that? Why did the others not record the earthquake? Why so few words written about the earthquake? Because I believe Matthew didn't want the attention of the earthquake to take away anything from the one who hung upon the tree. That's why I believe the earthquake was not mentioned by the other evangelists. Because a greater event took place. A greater event than the earthquake was taking place there on the cross. And all the attention should be on him. In spite of an earthquake. As Paul tells us, Colossians 1:18, in all things he might have the preeminence. We notice the moment of the earthquake. We're told exactly when the earth did quake and the rocks rent. We're told that it was immediately after the Lord Jesus cried again with a loud voice. But then we have to ask ourselves, what did he cry with a loud voice? Well, we compare the Gospels and we find that what he cried was, "It is finished." When Christ cried, "It is finished," and he gave up the Ghost, that's when there was the earthquake and the rending of the rocks. But mark this, and point it out before. While in John 19 verse 30 we have the words, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the Ghost, we have in the AV three words, "It is finished." In the original, it's one word. The one word is finished. And so there Christ cried with a loud voice, "Finished!" Bowed his head and gave up the Ghost. finish the work the Father had given him to do. In that great high priestly prayer of Christ, John 17 and verse 4, the Lord said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And here this earthquake testified to that very fact. For when Christ cried with a loud voice, it is finished, the earthquake testified to the fact the work was done that the Savior had been sent to do. Finished was his cry, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And while upon earth he finished the work which had been given to do, and so the earth quaked to testify to the fact the work of redemption was finished. No wonder there was an earthquake. The great work of redemption was finished. And so since Christ with a loud voice finished, then there should be an earthquake. And there was an earthquake. The great work was done. We notice also not only the moment, but the magnitude. What a momentous event this was. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. Not only the earth quaking, but the rocks been split in two. Must have been some earthquake. And so here was a quake that we're told shook the earth. The earth did quake. And of course it did. Because what took place that day on Calvary would never be repeated. Never. It would never be repeated. It was a once only event. And when God's incarnate Son yielded up the ghost, laying down his life for sinful men, there was an earthquake, emphasizing it was such a momentous event, the death of Christ. Why would the earth not quake? After all, heaven responded with 3 hours of darkness. Why would the earth not quake when the only begotten Son of God gave his life a ransom for many? Why would the earth not quake when it heard that word finished piercing the air? And when the word finished was uttered by Christ with a loud voice, I have no doubt, not only did the earth quake, but Satan's kingdom quaked as well. When Christ cried, finished, it must have shaken the kingdom of Satan. It must have rattled, as it were, the very gates of hell. Because Christ there opened up a way to heaven through his atoning death, through his finished work, and robbed hell of souls. Praise the Lord. No wonder the earth did quake, because when Christ cried with a loud voice, finished, and then gave up the ghost, that was not the cry of defeat. That was the cry of victory. When Christ cried, finished, it was the cry of victory. Heaven knew it. Hell knew it. And now earth shuddered, and earth knew it as well. What a great event that was, when the Lord Jesus, with a loud voice, cried, "Finished!" and gave up the ghost, and the earth did quake. As well as the moment and the magnitude, we have the miracle. For that's what it was. When the earth did quake and the rocks rent, it was a wonder. It was a miracle of God. Because it happened just at the moment. No, it wasn't coincidence. Some might say, "Oh, that was a coincidence, wasn't it?" Then when the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice and cried, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, and then there was the earthquake, some would say, "What a coincidence." No coincidence at all. God did it. God sent the earthquake. God sent the earthquake to announce the death of his only begotten Son. God caused the 3 hours of darkness. God rent the veil in the temple from the top to the bottom, and God caused the earth to quake. God did it all according to his omnipotent power. Because that's what our God is able to do. He's able to shake the earth. He's able to shake the heavens. And sinful man runs about today shaking his fist at God, taking God's name in vain, laughing at God. Talk about men and women being fools. Fool. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Turn over to the book of Haggai. Haggai the prophet. And here the prophet testifies to what God is able to do. Haggai chapter 2. We read there in verse 6. "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land." God says, "I'll do." God says, "I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Go down the chapter, verse 21. "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth." Well, that's what the Lord did. The Lord God Almighty did it at Calvary that day. Consider this. We're told the earth did quake and the rocks rent. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. But the cross didn't move out of its place. There was an earthquake, yet the cross remained where it stood. Is that not a miracle? Of course it was. So it's in the wonder of the earthquake. You notice the witness of the earthquake. The earthquaking at Calvary bore witness to a number of things, a number of truths. First of all, we consider the earthquake at Calvary to the past. What happened at Calvary takes us back to the past. Turn please to Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19 and verse 17. Here, God is giving to Moses and the children of Israel the law. And we read in Exodus 19 and verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was all together on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And so when God gave the law to Moses and the children of Israel, there was an earthquake. Not what it says. The whole mount quaked greatly, and the people gathered there most certainly would not forget that day. If any of us here were felt the earth tremor and an earthquake was not too many miles away, that's something we would never forget. Buildings would shake and maybe collapse. We would never forget that. Well, the children of Israel at the mount that day, they would never forget that the whole mount did quake greatly. Because God gave the law. So there was an earthquake when God gave the law. There was an earthquake when the Lord Jesus died on the cross. Cried, it is finished. Opened up the way of salvation for sinners. Now you go back to Sinai, and the law is given. The law will never save. The law will never save a soul. That's what the Lord had to teach the Pharisees again and again and again. They lived by the law, believing the law would bring them salvation. No. Paul tells us in Galatians 3 verse 24, the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. What does the law do? The law condemns us. The law shows us we're sinners. The law teaches us that we're transgressors of God's law. It doesn't matter how you live. You seek to live the law. It never saved the soul. There was an earthquake when the law was given. Now we read there was an earthquake when Christ cried out, it is finished. The law condemns, but the work of Christ saves. And to announce that the door of salvation had been opened, God sent an earthquake. Paul tells us, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. There it is. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We are lawbreakers, transgressors of God's law. We are cursed. But Christ went to the cross and he bore the punishment. He bore the judgment of God on our behalf. He became the curse for us. As Paul says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. No wonder then that the earth did quake at such a momentous event. So the earthquake of Calvary links us to the past. Calvary earthquake focuses on the person. The earthquaking and the rocks being rent not only points to Christ on the cross, but we see Christ here in another way. God, we're told, we read it there in our text, the earth did quake and the rocks rent. We have established God did it. God caused the earth to quake and God caused the rocks to be rent. Now, whenever you go to 1 Corinthians, in chapter 10, in 1 Corinthians 10, we read about a rock. 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 3, and then all eat the same spiritual meat, reference to the children of Israel and their wanderings in the wilderness. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock, notice capital R, that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. And that day at Calvary, God caused the rocks to be rent. And that day at Calvary, God rent the rock, even his own dear son. For how often have we read the words? Isaiah 53 verse 10, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Pleased the Father to bruise the Son. And there at Calvary, God Almighty caused the earth to quake and the rocks to be rent. God also rent his own dear Son. When God the Father poured out his wrath upon him, because all the sins of God's elect were laid upon him, and the Lord Jesus suffered the punishment for the sins of all of God's people. What a rending that was. So not only were earth's rocks rent, heaven's rock was rent also that day at Calvary. So we have the past. We have the person, Christ the rock. And then we have the proof. We see what the earthquake did to those who were present at the scene. Look there in verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, they were the ones who had sat down and watched him there. They're watching Jesus, saw the earthquake, and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. What did it take for the centurion and those who were there with him? What did it take for those men to acknowledge who Christ is, to acknowledge the identity of Christ, to acknowledge that he's the Son of God? It took an earthquake. When they saw the earthquake, they feared greatly. You know something? Sometimes that's what it takes. It takes one of life's earthquakes to open the eyes of sinners, to cause sinners to seek God. One of life's earthquakes, a tragedy or something, a serious illness, an earthquake of life, and suddenly men begin to think about eternity. They begin to think about God. Was it an earthquake that brought about the salvation of the Philippian jailer? There was an earthquake, and all the prison doors were open. And he was about to commit suicide, and Paul said, do thyself no harm, we are all here. And he sprang in at that moment and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And you read the following verses, and you find the jailer was saved, his wife and his family. What did it take? It took an earthquake. And sometimes for sinners, it takes one of life's earthquakes to awaken them to their need of Christ and to cause them to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. It would be better to get right with God before one of life's earthquakes. Because if you don't know Christ, and one of life's earthquakes comes your way, you'll face it alone. But when you have Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. They've considered the wonder of the earthquake, the witness of the earthquake. Brings us finally to the warning and the earthquake. We look again at the words of verse 54. And when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly. Not surprised. They feared greatly. The earthquake at Calvary led us to a past day, namely the earthquake at Sinai, when the law was given. But the Calvary earthquake takes us not backwards, but forwards. Yes, it takes us back to Sinai, the giving of the law. But I tell you something else. It takes us forward. Texas forward. Today, when there'll be an earthquake like nothing that this world has ever seen. Read about it in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 6. The great judgment day. Verse 12, and behold, when they had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. No, nothing to do with climate change. Nothing at all. Moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Nobody. Boy, I wouldn't like to be there on that day. But if a man or woman dies without Christ, that's what they will see. That's what they will witness. Yes, they'll be numbered. With every free man, every bond man, every mighty man. Over there. The kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, every free man, will call upon the rocks to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, for the great day of his wrath. What a frightening day that'll be. And there'll be no hiding place. Men today hide themselves, as it were, from the gospel. There'll be no hiding that day. That future day. It will be an earthquake such as this earth has never witnessed or seen before. For it will be the day of God's final judgment. Judgment upon all those who through their lives have rejected Christ and lived for sin and lived for the world and laughed at God. Their day of reckoning is coming. And you read about it there in Revelation 6. You can read about it. There it is. You want to know what the day of judgment is going to be like? Well, you just read Revelation 6. Judgment upon all those who lived like there was no God. All who denied the very existence of God. Boy, they'll find out that day. A future day. It'll be a fearful day. Earthquakes are fearful things, we know. When buildings begin to collapse and so forth. and roads open up. It's a fearful thing. But that day will be a fearful day. And the earthquake at Calvary points forward to the earthquake of the final day of judgment. It's a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That was the text that Jonathan Edwards preached. And Edwards had poor eyesight. And he would stand in the pulpit and he'd have his notes like this up to his face. And he couldn't see what was going on in the congregation. But as Edwards preached, men and women threw their arms around the pillars of the church and held on to the backs of the pews. They felt they were going to fall into hell there and then. Fear of God had gripped them. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. And those who will be there on that great day of judgment will know all about it. I exhort men and women who know not Christ, get saved. Get saved today. Today. You can't leave it. There's a coming day of judgment when the earth will quake. The mountains will be rent. And sinners will try and hide themselves in those rocks and in the caves and the mountains. Hide me from the face of the Lamb that sitteth on the throne, for the great day of his wrath is come. Time to get saved. Time to get right with God before the great final earthquake. When Jesus had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The Calvary earthquake. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord our God, we thank thee for that cry from the lips of our Savior there in Calvary. With a loud voice, he cried, finished. The work of redemption was finished. The house was opened. In the house of David, for sin and for uncleanness. And there is a fountain that's filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And when their guilty stains are removed, they'll not be there then. When the last great earthquake takes place, we're safe at home with the Lord. Lord, save souls today. And men and women today, get out from their sin and get under the blood. Start out on the Christian pathway today. And they'll be able to say the way is growing bright My soul is on the wing, going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Dear Lord, be with us as we spend time around the table. And for any, Lord, who are unable to stay, pray, Lord, thou will grant them traveling mercy. Bless them. Take them home with the blessing of God resting upon them. We pray in our Savior's holy name. Amen.